I'm here at the ACSI Award Ceremony with NHG Group CEO, Professor Joe Sim. Welcome, Prof. Sim, to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
What do you think it means for NHG to have a community for our researchers to celebrate each other?
I think it's very important. A lot of times, it is not an easy journey for our researchers, investigators. And it is very important for the community to come together to lend support to one another. And also for us to have a platform to enable and to support all these people so that we can let them soar as high as they can.
What ways do you think would be good to help to inspire or to help to encourage other clinicians or young clinicians to consider research as a career?
I think a few things. One is, of course, role models. If we can role models from the seniors, maybe from awardees now, they will be mentors in a few years' time. I think that is a very powerful signal. Number two is hardwiring some of these system changes so that the system is able to better support. When we talk about protected time, it is really protected time and not disappear somewhere in some other clinical worlds. I think those are the areas that we have to make that shift. And also about mindset, how do we allow one or two individuals within the department to be slightly more curious, to be slightly more different? And that is the essence where sometimes the curiosity and the way we think differently intersects that allows us to find new solutions to things.
Yes, I agree. There's always someone who needs to think out of the box and to break out of the way we've always done things.
That's right.
To be able to move our specialties and our community forward.
Yes, and in fact, in this area, I think we can do much more. We have many of our colleagues who are very open, but more can be done to embrace this kind of diversity. And at the same time, also able to relate to one another, how research will benefit clinical enterprise and how the enterprise can in turn support the research so that more can come. I think it's a very, very empowering cycle that we can reinforce and we can successfully create a critical mass. A lot more, it's not a linear kind of progression. We expect quite a huge jump once we get the momentum going.
In other words, a bit of a learning curve as well.
Yes, I hope it's not too long.
Okay, thank you so much for saying your words. Yeah. Thank you. All right, and now I'm here with my colleague from the National Skin Center, Assistant Professor Dr. Yu Yik Wing, who works on atopic dermatitis, and congratulations on getting Young Investigator Award.
Thank you so much.
Can you tell us a bit about what your research is about?
My research is basically understanding the risk factors, most importantly stratifying and identifying predictors of atopic dermatitis patient about their severity, prognosis, as well as complication of their treatment. And hopefully we can have more targeted and personalized medicine in this area.
What words of advice do you have for young dermatologists or young residents who want to go into research in NHG?
I think my advice would be you have a lot of passion, be interested in what you are doing, and really ask a lot of help from your seniors, from your peers, because all of us are around to help you. So do not be shy and worry about getting help. So that's a key thing, and be inspired by other people doing research, including your peers. And that will be a fruitful journey. Yeah.
And of course, you're also working within the ACSI with me. How can the ACSI help these new clinicians who are thinking of doing research?
I think ACSI provides a very formalized network, a very structured kind of assistance scheme. I mentioned before that there are a lot of help available, but the presence of this ACSI is structuralized and formalized everything. So at least there is an office or a contact person to go to in case you do not know who to get help from.
Thank you. Okay, so I won't hold you from a lunch. Thank you, Ewing. Okay. And now I'm with Associate Professor Bani Buang from Tan Tock Seng NCID. Congratulations on getting your award this year.
Thank you very much.
Can you tell us a bit about what your research is about?
At the moment, my research is looking at controlled human infection models. So this is deliberately infecting volunteers with a pathogen, whether that was a virus or bacteria. For the study that I'm doing, it is with SARS-CoV-2, with the Delta variant. So we've just started that process of enrolling volunteers, admitting them to NCID, and then inoculating them with the live virus so that we can then measure the viral kinetics, the immune response, the symptoms, the environmental shedding, and so on in exquisite detail over the week or two after they're inoculated.
Wow, that's quite a novel approach to studying infectious diseases. Is that something that you've been doing for other conditions?
it's the first time in Singapore. So previously, controlled human infection studies have never been done in Singapore. They got close a few years ago. Prof. Annalise Wilder-Smith from LKC, when she was with LKC Medicine, was planning to do an influenza challenge study, but unfortunately, it wasn't able to get off the ground. So it's the first time in Singapore. Something I'm working very closely with Imperial and Prof. Chris Chu from there so that we do it correctly here. But we hope it's the first of many and that we'll be expanding beyond SARS-CoV-2 to influenza, maybe to dengue, maybe to other infections as well.
What made you decide to go the research route?
I would say something that seemed to have happened in a way, but I've always been interested in research. I thought a lot about doing a PhD as a medical student, trying to think about medicine from a more fundamental point of view, not just the individual patient in front of you, but trying to understand more about exactly why they're unwell, perhaps, or exactly why a specific treatment works. It was always what interested me. And then it was just a good coming together of different things which enabled me to sort of go on the research journey.
So in other words, it was inevitable that you were going to do research.
I think it was always what I wanted to do. Very difficult to say exactly why, but it was something I was always thinking about and trying to find a way in. And it took several attempts. It wasn't sort of one go in and then just sail through.
It's never like that. But you know that every clinician researcher's journey is different and valid. So do you have any advice for young doctors who are thinking of doing research?
So I think it is a fundamental part of clinical medicine. I think it should be thought of in that way, but it's not something you do on the side, that you either choose this route or you don't. I think it is something that everybody should be doing, this, whether it is just being a co-investigator in a clinical trial, so helping to enroll patients onto a study so that you're testing better treatments, better vaccines, better interventions or whatever, or whether you're actually designing the trials and holding the grants yourself. But it is a fundamental thing, I think, that research is part of medicine. And I hope residents can see it like that, and senior residents as well. I want to embark on the journey of sort of understanding more about research and how to build up research studies and how to formulate questions and work out how to answer them.
Okay, well, thank you. Okay, I won't hold you for my lunch. Thank you for answering my questions and good luck for your research. Thank you. And now I'm here with Professor Angela Chow, who received the Research Mentor of the Year Award. Congratulations, Prof. Chow.
Thank you so much. It's an honor. It's a real honor.
Can you tell me a bit about your research?
My work is really on implementation. So really looking at how we can better improve the way we use antibiotics and in terms of stewardship, in terms of how we can educate patients as well as the public in being able to use antibiotics better so that we can keep antibiotics going for a longer period for generations to come.
What do you think are the main properties of a good research mentor?
Well, someone who's approachable, someone who really cares for you and journey with you, through not just the research itself, but also in being able to help you grow as a person. You know, research is a very long, arduous journey and it takes a lot of perseverance. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have a mentor who kind of supports you and guides you along the way. Yeah.
And to any young doctors or young trainees who are thinking of doing research, what advice do you have for them for looking for a suitable mentor?
I think first and foremost, someone you can really work with, someone you look up to, someone you trust, who will be there for you in spite of all the falls and, you know,
rejections.
Yeah, really, really. Yeah, you know, being rejected by journals.
Or even negative results.
Definitely.
Like that, right?
Yeah. Every failure is a learning lesson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also, of course, you can, as many mentors as you can, in various ways, even your peers, your juniors could be your mentors because there's always something to learn from, from people around you.
Okay. So thank you and congratulations on your award again. And I won't hold you from your lunch.
Thank you.
Okay. And now I'm here with Dr. Clement Chia, who has received the ACSI Young Investigator of the Year Award. Congratulations, Clement, on your award.
Thank you very much, Ethan.
Can you tell us a bit about what your research is about?
I'm a breast and endocrine surgeon. So last year, together with my plastic surgeon colleague, Dr. Jolie Hui, and also our collaborators, Prof. Reddy from LKC Medicine, and also Dr. Kenneth from NTU. He's a researcher, educational pedagogist. Right, so we applied for this Institute of Adult Learning grant. Basically, we are looking at improving the informed consent process for complex surgical procedures. And we are contextualizing it to breast reconstruction in patients who have breast cancer after mastectomy to better help them to choose options and to make a more informed and more satisfied choosing of their option for their breast reconstruction. So basically, Institute of Adult Learning, they have this educational grant every year. And it is basically to help promote and enhance learning in adult learners. So we were fortunate enough to be granted this grant, and we use it to develop a digital innovation app. Basically, it involves doing some flipped classroom form of education for patients, meaning that before the patient sees the plastic surgeon, they are while in the waiting area, they already go through, use the app to bring them through some of the knowledge and options that they have. This is to help them to front load some of the information before they see the plastic surgeon. And also during the consult, there is also an augmented reality option whereby patients can better visualize the different options of breast reconstruction.
Because on themselves? Is it on themselves?
Not
is
on
it,
themselves, on a digital animation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
so basically we make use of a pamphlet and then once the app hover over the pamphlet, the augmented reality structure will appear.
Okay.
So we believe that helps them to better visualize the options and better choose the options. And we are also measuring consultation time to see pre and post intervention, whether or not after using this app, the consultation time is reduced and productivity is increased.
Oh, that's very interesting. And what made you decide to go into research?
Yeah. So for myself, I have always been dabbling with clinical research since I was a resident. I actually joined the clinician scientist preparatory program back when I was, I think, second year resident. And along the years in my residency training, I've been doing some retrospective studies, mainly some small research. And that kind of kept my interest in research growing. And after I became a consultant, I'm very privileged to have the help of Center of Medical Technology and Innovation, CMTI, who has been very helpful and also kind of important in matching me with potential solution providers that can potentially solve some of the problems that I encounter in clinical practice. And in fact, currently I'm also a Singapore Biodesign Innovation Fellow with A-STAR, and I feel that in this 2-3 months journey thus far, it is a very good introduction to the ecosystem. Get a network with many important individuals in the innovation ecosystem. More importantly, we learn the proper methodology and framework for biodesign and innovation of medtech devices. And that way, I feel that this skill that we that will be learning will be very useful in my clinical practice, as well as to help to groom my future budding clinician innovators.
Do you think there are any other applications for this biodesign fellowship for other specialties? Do you recommend other young doctors to take this up?
Yeah, certainly. I think not just for procedures. In fact, one of my current fellow biodesign innovation fellow is a hematologist, Dr. Eugene Fan. So I think this innovation fellowship is open for any clinician. And in fact, it is a multidisciplinary fellowship. In my group currently, there's an A-star scientist, there's even a pharmacist. So even for allied health, this is certainly something recommended, because medtech innovation, it can be applied to any field of healthcare. As long as there is truly an unmet clinical need, we can use the principles of biodesign to brainstorm and to come up with a potential solution to solve the unmet clinical need.
Okay, that's interesting. I think that's definitely another avenue that some young doctors or young trainees can consider when going into research. Okay, so thank you so much, Simon, and congratulations again on your award.
Thank you.
All right, so welcome to the ACSI podcast. I'm here with Associate Professor Joanne Niao, my colleague in the ACSI Domain 3 for Enhancement, and we're here at the ACSI Awards, the very first ACSI Awards. Tell me, Joanne, how has it been working on this with me?
It's been a sort of an interesting but wonderful one-year journey, and I couldn't ask for a better co-chair than Etienne, because I think we've had fun. We've been quite intentional about what were the first initiatives we wanted to put out. Firstly was to get visibility of ACSI as a sort of home for clinician scientists in the NHGRKC cluster. So firstly, we started with having a website, we had the branding, we have a really lovely logo, and then now it's the next stage, which is joint awards. We aligned the awards between NHG and LKC for research, and was we were very happy that this attracted many applicants this round, and we hope that people in the future years will continue to make the judging of this award ceremony difficult for our judges, because they had a somewhat difficult time choosing between the various many very worthy applicants. We're here at the 1 year mark, and from year one onwards, we are looking forward to seeing how else we can enhance the careers of clinician scientists in our midst. And specifically, we are going to try and look into a little bit more how we can sort of help streamline academic achievement with also clinical work progress and recognition at the hospital level.
I think the ACSI Awards this time was quite successful, and I think everyone did feel like there was this, that there's something in NHG to recognize our research achievements. What do you think is going to be the main challenges for ACSI in the next 1 or 2 years?
I think the pipeline, sustaining the pipeline is a challenge, but I don't see it as a problem, because I think, as you have seen with all our network sessions, we have a steady stream of research mentors and participants coming around. So I think it's a challenge in the sense that we have to make sure that there's always a continuous pipeline of people coming through. But I don't see it as a problem, because I already see the seeds of this happening, and we see people getting excited. We see younger folks emailing, myself, others, even yourself and all, about research ideas, research projects. So I do see that it's happening. I've seen this happen in the various other institutions that I've been with, both overseas and locally. And I'm very confident that the trajectory will be the same for ACSI.
Oh, that's very hopeful. Okay, so thank you, Joanne. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Here's to more successes in 2025.
Yeah, and hopefully look out for the Christmas edition.
Yes. When Joanne will sing us a Christmas song. All right, so that was the ACSI Awards, and congratulations again to all our recipients of the awards this year. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast everywhere you can get podcasts, especially on Spotify, Podcast, and Apple Podcasts. And I'll see you next time.